Hey, everybody. Welcome to the A1 Auto Body Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Sands. Today, I'm talking with Chris Boyd, the owner of Boyd Property Care out of Northwood, New Hampshire. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
So you are the way we got hooked up is you actually did the landscaping for my brother, Rick, who owns the shop. And he thought you did absolutely amazing, and he just wanted me to tell you that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I always take good appreciation for those things. So every time someone tells me I do a good job, I always love it.
Yeah, no, he said you did awesome. How did you get into landscaping? Let's just get right into it.
No problem. So I went to Plymouth State University. I actually got a degree in communications. Kind of going through school, didn't know what I wanted to do, so kind of got my degree and started picking up jobs. I've done construction. I've done retail. I worked for Milwaukee Power Tools for a bit and just doing retail for them. Pretty much figured out pretty quick I didn't want to work in an office or kind of didn't want to work for other people. Not as bad as that might sound, but I wanted to work for myself. So as I started getting into things, realized I didn't want the office job. Some opportunities came up, and I started landscaping out in Portsmouth for a different landscape company and ended up just falling in love with it. I mean, I get to be outside 4 or 5 days of the, like, week. It's hard work, but it's something that I love to do. And once I kind of figured that out, I kind of knew I wanted to work for myself. So I started working, saving up money, and started getting equipment. And as smaller jobs started popping up, I just kind of started edging my way in with side jobs. And then this past summer, last fall, I just went off on my own. And then I still work part-time for the other landscape company time to time just to make some money. But other than that, I'm completely on my own now, and I love it. It's a lot of work. It gets stressful at times, but in the end, it's totally worth it. It's something that I work towards.
That's a brave move to make that jump in the fall, especially since, like, winter's right there and you're probably not doing a lot of landscaping work in the winter.
Yeah, what ended up happening was I got like 2 or 3 big patio jobs right at the end. And so right as we were winding down the mowing season, starting to get into fall cleanups, I had the opportunity where I could make just about the same if I switched over. So it was kind of like that jumping point where either I go in now and get them done or I wait till next season. So ended up doing it. I still plowed for the other company and just so I could keep money up during the winter. And then once spring started back up, it was all full blown.
That's so cool. That must have been like a real nail biter. You know what I mean? Like, cause you're really jumping all in. You're saying like you have made the decision, like I'm going to do this. You know what I mean? Fail or go. You know what I mean? Not trying to jinx you or anything. That's just a very bold move. And it's, you know, it must be weird to kind of have that and now, like, kind of be free. And it also must feel really good to be free. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was – I mean, there have been months where, you know, you're just trying to look out and see how much money you can make. And, you know, you're making things get by. But as soon as the spring kind of popped up and once you start seeing those jobs come in, it's a kind of a realization of how hard you worked. Like, even though it is nail-biting, like, a lot of those months, especially during the winter and, like, my girlfriend and I had just bought a house, like, in January. So, you know, you got these bills that you know you're going to have to pay. So there was a teeter time where it was like, do I try and find a new job or do I keep going towards my dream of wanting to work for myself? So it was definitely really sticky in a lot of situations. But it's – looking back on it, you're just like – every situation that gets worse, it's like you look back and it's like, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't so bad. So you figure shit out really quick.
Right. And then there's always that time when you're like – you look back on your old problems and you're like, oh my God, was I really that upset about that? Or like really that, that thing stressed me out?
Yeah. Oh, there have been times where I was having mental breakdowns and now I do those like in 10 minutes. And I'm like, what was wrong with me?
One thing I think is really cool about landscaping is that I feel like landscaping is really a business where like, it doesn't like, experience and stuff is important, but really it's going to come down to like just putting in the work and putting in the hours. It's not that the jobs are super difficult or technical. It's that you just need to be able to do them. You know what I mean? Like Hold on, I worded that wrong. Let me restart.
I know exactly what you're trying to say.
I feel like with landscaping, like, it's like the perfect job for an entrepreneur or someone who wants to get into it, because like you can buy a lawnmower and now you're lawn mowing, you know what I mean? And then like you can save up a little bit of money and then you can add another piece of equipment into that and now you're doing this next thing. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, it's the opportunities are always there for landscaping. Like, even though someone might not be doing work this summer, they might next summer. So like, I don't know, the opportunity is always there. So there's a ton out there. So if people do want to, it is, like you were saying, it's exactly what it is. It's self-explanatory. Like, landscaping hasn't changed in hundreds of thousands of years. Like, it's basically farming nowadays. So like to plant a tree is pretty self-explanatory. To mulch your yard, it's, but to put in 6 hours of hauling a 50-pound wheelbarrow or something like that and going back and forth for a full day, people don't want to do that. So it is a very labor-intensive job. But that's why I love it, because now I don't have to go to the gym and I'm getting paid to do it. So as long as you're okay with it, it is very an intensive work. So I don't know if I want to do it my whole life, but while I'm young and still have the body for it, I'll get it done.
I think the other cool thing about it is, like, you can start off with, like, a shovel. Right. And then like you can start off with like a shovel and a wheelbarrow, and then you can eventually like upgrade your equipment as you go. But you can always start. Like, it's always a place to start as long as you're willing to put in the hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could have just trimmers and just be doing shrubs and stuff. But there's just so many like little niches for landscaping that if people tell you they're not making money, they're lying to you.
What is your favorite thing to do?
So my absolutely favorite thing to do is hardscapes and patios, just because to me it's more construction and it's more design. At least for the houses that I do, it's typically homeowners that have been at their houses for a while. So they just have a dream of, they eventually wanted either a porch or a patio. And this is kind of like they're expanding onto their house. So they want something different, something unique to them. Doing some of the new homes nowadays, you can get into very generic. Everybody's got the same front walkway. They got the 10x10 in the back, or they got that. So I like doing stuff that's more unique, where the homeowners actually get to have a say and they'll actually pick out what they want, or they'll give me a challenge where they'll put something somewhere that might be a little bit harder for me, but if I can do it, then it's what they want. So that's kind of the end game. So I like doing that. It's more of a challenge to me. Plus it's a lot more work. It's a lot more construction stuff. That's a little bit more precise with the measurements. It's like mulching, you can just kind of throw stuff and go. So it's a little more precise, but that's why I like that stuff kind of a lot more.
That's interesting that you said about like houses all kind of being the same. That's something that is kind of weird, isn't it? Because like a house, you know, you live there your whole life, and I mean, some people do some really cool stuff with like their interiors and stuff, but then the outside just looks like, you know, every other house in your block.
Yeah. Yeah, well, even now, because, I mean, I just bought my house, but obviously home projects take a long time because, you know, you want to do stuff, but it costs money at the same time. So, but
I've been in the bathroom for 3 months.
You've been what?
I said I've been working on my bathroom for 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. It's never a quick job, and so it's just, and it's nice when the people finally see what they wanted. So they can just kind of look out, and they're like, oh, that looks so great, and you're like, you can kind of put that on yourself as, you know, you did a good job.
Are there any jobs that, like, stick out to you from over the years that, like, as your favorite or as your least favorite?
So probably my favorite one was the first one I did. It was a 20x30 patio. That was, like, the first big one I did last fall. The reason I liked that one the most was probably because it was the first time I had done something from beginning to end. And I'd seen everything through. So I ordered the material, I designed it, I did everything. And then, so like, it was that finishing, like taking the pictures of the final project, that for me was like what made it work. And then, I've had a couple other small ones that weren't so great. One I put in chipmunks, ended up making a hole underneath. So they ended up, like, all the pavers ended up like caving in some spots. The homeowners were really nice. They knew the chipmunks were a problem. So, because you hate to go back to a property where it looks like it could be your fault, but it was a chipmunk. So that was probably one of the worst ones because I had to redo it. And it's just never fun going back to redo the same project over again.
Oh, that does suck. In a situation like that, it's not like there's anything you could have done that could have prevented it. It's just, you kind of just
Yeah, they tunneled underneath where all the stone was, so it was just slowly washing away as like rain came in, and they just made so many tunnels it didn't make it. So they were completely fine with it. They had like 4 chipmunk traps. So I mean, they were prepared for it and they knew what it was. So at that point they couldn't blame me, which was fantastic. I mean, not for them, but it was just great that I didn't get blamed for it.
It is kind of weird because you're like out there basically like, because lawns themselves are not like a natural phenomena. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
And we're like trying to tame nature, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the most untamable thing.
And it's built to grow every year.
Right, and then we just get out there with our lawnmowers. We cut stuff down. We rip stuff out. And then it keeps coming back. It's resilient.
Yeah. Keeps my job coming back every year.
Exactly. That's what I like to hear. When you were first starting off, did you not in your own business, but when you were first starting off as a landscaper, did you like kind of come into it thinking that it was just going to be like a thing you were doing until you figured out what you wanted to do, or is this kind of, was it pretty quickly you realized that this is what you love to do?
So when I first picked it up, I had it was like 2 or 3 summers ago, and I was just looking for another job because I didn't like the one I had. And so it was beginning of the summer, and I wanted an outside job. I'm a surfer and a snowboarder, so I wanted something that was near the seacoast so I could go surfing. So I was like, great. Like, I'll landscape during the day. I'll be outside. I'll get a nice tan, and I'll just go to the beach, and I can surf afterwards. So that's why I started doing it. And then as I worked, it was a great workout, so I didn't need to go to the gym. And I was like, this isn't so bad. And then as I started picking up side work, I realized I could make some good cash off of it. And when I wasn't complaining every day and I was actually excited about being outside, that's kind of when I knew. So I definitely didn't know at first. I was really nervous at first because, like, even driving the zero-turn mowers and, like, the big trucks and stuff, I hadn't done a whole lot of it. So it was, like, it was still a first-time experience for me. But as I started learning stuff, it started being more fun to me and less like a job. So, like, once you kind of learn the easy parts of everything, you know how to do something, going in and out and getting stuff done, it makes it so much less stressful. And that's the kind of the point I'm getting to now. It's like just getting above that stress point. I mean, it's still there, but just knowing what you need to do every day and getting it done. And like you said, like having your schedule and, you know, some free time pops up, you got to make sure you can fill it with something and challenge yourself to get it done. Because if you just sit there, you're losing time, you're losing money.
Were you prepared for like the business side of things too? Or was that, or are you kind of like you're trying to work that in now, obviously, because before you were just landscaping and then like now you have to add in all like the admin stuff, all the office work, all the marketing and getting customers. Like, are you enjoying that aspect as well? Or are you finding that more difficult?
I find that to be the challenging part for me. I'm good being outside, just hauling stuff around, but you sit me in front of a computer and I will get frustrated. I will click the wrong things. So I did take some business classes at Plymouth when I was a communications major, just because they make you take some classes sometimes. But so I did have some, like, I dabbled in a lot of things. Like, I know how to use Excel. I use QuickBooks just because it's easier to track everything. The apps nowadays make it super easy. But just sitting down and, like, going through everything and the marketing and the advertising and doing, like, Instagram and trying to keep up with that stuff, that's the part that I'm working on now, where it's trying to find time to make sure I do those things while working at the same time. Because I feel like if I work too much, it's kind of going to – you kind of got to have a good balance. But that's kind of the part I'm trying to work on now, doing the website, kind of getting Instagram out there, mostly getting my name out there. Is like the biggest thing right now, just because there's a lot of other big landscape companies that you see, you know, mowing all the commercial places, their names are on the truck. So I'm trying to work up to that, but I'm still a small business. So you got to work with what you got.
Right. It makes you feel for some of those bigger businesses though, when you think about all the work that you do, like in the office, you know what I mean? And then you just think about how much work they must have.
Oh yeah, I used to get so mad at my other boss when he would say you'd have to go take care of stuff and we were out working, and I'm like, I am so sorry for all the times I was a dick to you when we were out. He's like, I didn't realize you were dealing with clients and, like, these guys and, like, your other employees are being dicks and all this stuff. So, like, I feel for you, man. So I'm going to give you a lot more slack now. That's where I'm kind of getting from. Like, I feel for all the problems that I had seen before. It's opening my eyes. It's good to see.
It's probably not so bad for, like, billion-dollar businesses, but, like the bigger than small, but small that smaller than big, like, those guys probably, they just must have so much work.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean, that they can't farm out. And like you said, you're a small business owner, so it's not like you have a staff of people working somewhere in an office for you, you know?
Right. Like, I'll ask my girlfriend to help out time to time, but I don't want to sacrifice her free time just to get my stuff done at the same time.
Exactly. You surf too, you said? That's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, I surf and snowboard. I grew up in the Seacoast area in New Hampshire, so I started surfing, I think it was in third grade, and then just pretty much surfed all through it and snowboarded once I went to college and all through there.
I've actually noticed the last couple of years it seems like surfing has really taken off in New Hampshire, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, between the paddleboarding and just – I think it's just the availability now. Like, surfboards are cheaper. So it's easier to have them for shipping. And it's just a fun activity. People can go to the beach and your kids can be out in the water and get tired for a day. But it's just so much fun.
When I was a kid, it seemed like there was the one fat kid on the boogie board. And that was pretty much, that was like the extent of water sports in New Hampshire, you know? But now, like, you go out there, you see, like, people on those wakeboards, like, and stuff, or that's probably not in the ocean, but like on lakes and stuff, there's like wakeboards and, like you were saying, paddle boards, there's canoe, like there's all kinds of stuff. I don't know if I just didn't realize it or what, but that
no,
around here, that's really picking up.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. When I first started, it wasn't a big, like, even skateboarding was like bigger. Well, it was the 90s and then the 2000s, but like it still wasn't that, like you said, it was the boogie boarders and then just people hanging at the beach. There wasn't, like, even, I mean, I think it's changed out, but there was like a surfing section that was way away from the beach section. So you actually had to surf in a specific section of the beach because there were so limited surfers and, like, they weren't just one of the beach for the swimmers and the kids. So it's definitely picked up a ton. And wake surfing on the lakes and stuff too has made a huge difference, I think.
Oh, for sure. And like the other day, I'm terrible with time, obviously, because it was like last year, but we went to the beach. And there was literally, like, so you know how there's Hampton, right? And then you, like, you follow the road up, you kind of follow the coast up a little bit, and there's, like, some other, like, state beaches up top there. You know what I'm
yep.
talking about?
Yep.
There was, like, that's where I usually go just because I don't really like Hampton very much, so I usually just go up there. And I would say, like, the last 2-3 years, like, it's been, like, you know, a little bit more, but this last time we went there had to have been, like, 20 people surfing out there.
Yeah. No, it's tough now because even to find parking, because it's all limited, and you either got to find the free parking on the side of the road. So it's getting tough with the amount of people. Plus, well, maybe not now with, like, the whole virus and stuff, but a lot of Canadians used to come down.
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Well, yeah, now the beaches are open this week, but, like, Canadians used to always come down with their surf vans. So, like, they'd be lining the beaches, and you get a bunch of people traveling. So it gets tough, especially once it gets nice like this in the summer, but – with this whole COVID thing, I don't know.
Those damn Canadians.
Yeah. Give me my beaches back.
We're watching you guys. You have your own beaches.
just a lot colder.
Yeah, if they knew that we said that, then they'd probably just apologize. And then we'd feel
yeah.
Do you work on any of the houses up in that area? Because some of those houses are gorgeous, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I would love to get into that. That's kind of my goal, because I would love, if I could just work across from the ocean and be able to take my break and go surfing or something, that would be ideal. But to get in with those houses, it's tough. You got to make sure you're in at the right time. So I've been walking the beach, you know, I'll have my business cards ready.
Yeah, no, some of those houses are, like, unbelievable. It's you know, like, you see some of those houses. I remember one time me and my wife were driving up there, and I was like, boy, imagine how much money it must cost to, like, just, like, keep this – or no, I was like, imagine how much time it must take to just clean that house. And she was like, you think people that own that house don't have enough money to hire someone to clean it for them? And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, point, you know, like, it probably takes, like, a lot of work to keep those houses up, landscapers and everything, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, but like you said, they just write their check for the year or whatever, and they just get it all taken care of.
Lucky.
But, yeah, and the other thing is, too, you'll never see them at those houses. Like, I've been going to those beaches since, like, I was 20 years, or since I, for 20 years now, and, like, you just, you look at those houses, there's never been anyone in them when I've been at the beach, and I go, like, most days during the week. You'll
Dude,
see them
so
maybe cute. Once or twice a summer, and that's it.
So strange. I think it was maybe 2 years ago, I saw someone on in one of the houses for the first time ever in my whole
yeah.
life. I'm 32 now. I've been going to the Hampton and that area forever. I've never
yeah.
seen someone. And, like, someone was up on the porch, and I was like, did someone break in? You know?
Yeah, right.
Who the hell is that person? It's so strange. It's just, like, it's
yeah.
just so weird to think that, like, people have, like, a house that extravagant and that beautiful and that giant, and they don't even stay there, you know? So weird.
Right. Man.
Because
yeah, I'm just sitting on the beach envying them. I'm like, man, I wish I could live there.
Actually, what's happening with a lot of houses like that now, and actually maybe that's why I saw that person, is that they're getting turned into Airbnbs.
Oh, yeah, which makes sense. At least they get used.
Yeah, exactly. But I know, like, that's kind of happening in a lot of areas like Hampton where, like, they'll just buy, like, one person will come in, they'll buy up a bunch of houses and then rent them out for however much a night.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty cool. I mean, like you said, at least someone's using it. At least someone's getting
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Right.
So you grew up in New Hampshire?
Yeah. Yep. So I grew up in Nottingham, New Hampshire, which is right, like, around Lee area.
Yep. That's pretty cool. And you moved to, when did you move to Northwood?
So I just moved to Northwood when we bought our house in January. So Northwood's like the next town up from Nottingham, so not that much further from where I was before.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to lie. Like, once you get up north, for me, and I've lived here my whole life, and it still gets a little squirrely, you know? So
yeah.
For southern people, it's like a whole different world up there.
Yeah. Northwood's like right in between probably Concord and the Seacoast. It's
oh,
like if
okay.
you're heading up Route 4, it's like right in the middle of those two. So you probably go past it and just never even know it's there.
Probably. There's a lot of little towns like that in New Hampshire, too, where it's just like, you know, you're driving down the highway and you're like, where the hell is that? Never heard
yeah.
of that before, you know?
Yep.
It's like Manchester, Concord, and Nashua, and then everything else is just kind of, you have no idea.
It's all extra.
So what do you do in the winter, generally, when you aren't doing landscaping, or what's your plans for this year?
So I'm actually saving up right now to get a new truck with a plow, so I'm gonna try to get a plow route and do that for the storms. My end goal plan is to try to make enough during the summer months, like those 9 months, to eventually take a 3 month trip kind of during the winter months and do like a snowboarding trip and just kind of bounce around. But that's kind of a few years down the road once I get established.
Yeah. I mean, hell,
so,
you could do a surfing one at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, so I would just do plowing, and then I do handyman services too. So when I was in construction, I did a lot of, like, home renovations. So I can do, like, sheetrocking, interior painting, all that kind of stuff, some, like, light finish carpentry work. So I'll just kind of pick up odd jobs that people are looking for. A lot of people that I know, if they're renovating a room or, like, doing a bathroom, I can do tiling and stuff. So I just kind of pick up things to fill in and kind of make money. And then whenever storms come in, I work and do those.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're like a full – you're like the real deal. You do everything.
Oh, yeah. I try to do everything, yep. It's a little bit of everything, but because I like switching it up time to time. Like, it's – landscaping's fun, and doing, like, the patios kind of switches it. And then once I get into summer months or the winter months, I can be inside and do that kind of stuff and kind of change it up a little bit. Then once it gets nice out, I get to switch back out. So it's just, I like knowing how to do multiple things, especially now being a homeowner. I can fix it all for myself. I don't have to pay somebody else.
How do you balance out, like, you know, getting new clients versus taking care of the kind of the jobs and stuff you have going on now? Like, do you have one job at a time, or are you doing like 2-3 jobs at a time, and then as they finish up, like, how do you kind of manage that?
Right now my schedule is, like, when I first started out, it was week to week. So I'd have some clients where, you know, they text me and they need me there for 3 days a week, because sometimes I have bigger houses where they do like, they'll be doing multiple projects throughout the year. So, like, if they want to get rid of a bunch of brush, they'll call me up. I'll do that. And then they'll call me again. So sometimes I'll get booked out for 3 days at a time with an old client. And then I'll have a couple new clients pop up where I'll fill them in with other days. And then obviously with the hardscape patios, I kind of book those out with how much time I need and stuff like that. So right now it's not too much like mowing. So I'm more of a bigger project. So I kind of block out days at a time. I try to do a little both. I try to keep a lot of my old clients because they're usually very nice. They're ones who started with me from the beginning, but they also have constant work. So they know when I'm available so they can call me. And then I've also been picking up some new clients and obviously like Rick, just kind of to get my name out there. And I want to try some new projects and kind of challenge myself, make a little bit more money and just kind of get my name out there and be a little bit more. Then once I kind of get established in a few years and I can kind of pick and choose where I want to stay, I think based on location, but right now I'm just kind of trying to feed everywhere.
And I know that, like, the other day you were saying you traveled up to Maine to do some, like, plant some trees, right?
Yeah, I did 14 arborvitaes for them.
And how do you work, like, that kind of travel time and stuff into, like, it just seems like, because you're an owner too, right? So, like, it must be hard to, like, say, okay, I'm going to take 2 hours to drive up to Maine, but, like, that's 2 hours really where nothing's getting done, you know what I mean? Are you able to, like, I don't know, do kind of, like, keep things going, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's where it's at right now. It's a lot of my time. I get up early, so I'm a very early morning person. So if it's a bigger job or like if it's a patio job or that tree job, I'll have everything ready to go the weekend before. And for that one, it was literally I drove to the nursery on whatever day I started that and picked up the first half of the trees. I put those in and then got stuff ready for the next day, drove down. So right now it's just a lot more me driving. But I try to get up early. So I still have like my 6 or 7 of working hours while I'm actually at the job. So any of that extra time traveling kind of comes down on me, which is hopefully going to change soon. But it's just something I have to do right now. So it's just kind of how I'm working with it.
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, if I'm not home as often, but once I start getting clients maybe a little bit closer, I can kind of cut that, you know, extra half hour travel time and that can make me some more money. But other than that, I'll try to, if I have like 2 main jobs, I'll try to put those in the same week. So that way, if I know I'm traveling up that way, I can maybe hit one on the way back. So there is, I do some kind of try to put logistics along with it, but it's kind of playing it by ear.
Yeah, especially in the beginning, I'm sure, where you're just kind of like, you just, you know, you want to get as much work as you can, you know, so you're just kind of like pulling it in, and if it doesn't line up, then you're just going to have to work a couple extra hours.
Exactly. Yep. It's just kind of where I'm at right now.
That's cool, though. That's a good place to be. I mean, you know, I think one of the mistakes a lot of people make when they're starting a business is they just try and hire someone out, like, as soon as they can, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they're 3 months out the gate, and they're already looking at, like, okay, so how can I work less, you know?
How can I do
less work, and I can, you know, relax a little more while, you know, maybe this other person is working for me. You know, I think people just have a very skewed kind of idea of business and how businesses work.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you got to put something into it. I mean, everybody wants to be there eventually, but you got to sacrifice something.
Right. There's only one, you know, I don't even know what a major landscaping company is, so I don't know what I was going to say, but there's only one West Coast Customs, I guess.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, it's not like most people, even you know, after years and years, they still have to work hard. It's just what it comes down to, especially when you own your business.
Yeah. And you don't need to be a big business or be famous to be successful. It's just where some other people want to be, you know?
Right.
It all preference to who you are.
Exactly. Like you said, if you could probably be, you know, happier than any of those guys just being having those 3 months to go snowboarding, right?
Yeah, exactly. If I'll work 12-hour days, you know, 7 months out of the year, if I know that I can just take some time off, like, 2 or 3 months and just go travel and relax during those time, then it's all knowing what you're putting into it. Cause people will work and then they don't know what they're saving up for. You got to know what you're saving up for. It's how you enjoy things.
I think that's a lot better kind of measure of success too, than just saying like, you know, this, you know, I want my bank account at this number. And like the higher that number is, the better. Like what you're saying is basically like, yeah, like I want money, but I want really just enough money that I can be happy. I don't need, you know, and then I can have time to myself, which is more important to me, you know? And I think that changing that kind of conversation about, like happiness and success is important.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was like one of the, when I was like in college and trying to figure things out, that was one of my biggest things was I didn't just want to make money. You know, I wanted to be happy because you see a lot of miserable people out there making a lot of money. And it sucks. So it's like, you have good days and bad days. Trust me, there are a lot of days where I'm just like, I want to quit right now. Like, I don't even want to do this today. But and then there are other days where you're like, this is the best day ever. So it's, I don't know. Can't feed into it too much every day.
Right. I mean, there's those days that, you know, you say to yourself, like, I never want to do this again. But then you still wake up the next morning and you go do it again.
Yep, and then it just gets easier because then you're like, whatever, I did it yesterday, so I can do it easier today.
Right, it can only get better. Yesterday was awful. what kind of advice would you give to somebody who wanted to start their own landscaping business?
I would just say save your money. I know it looks good sometimes to have the newest equipment and to have, like, all the best stuff, but honestly, if you work with old equipment, and you kind of get through the struggle of taking care of it and knowing how to work it. And the appreciation for tools gets a lot more, and that's, I think, when you start making money. Too many guys, I think, try to get the equipment first and try to get all the nicest stuff from the nicest truck. And what is happening is they're paying more for that equipment than they want to do the work. So I would just say just get old stuff and just start small. Because if you try to get too big, you're going to overwhelm yourself. So to make sure you know what you're doing and just get it done right and do a really good job. The quality of work for landscaping is – it's because, like you said before, it's something that everyone can do, but it's hard to be, like, do it – get the job done well, I guess. I don't know. Just because you can see jobs where you see homeowners that mulch, and then you can see where landscapers come in and mulch. It's just – it's kind of a night or day thing. So you need to have extreme quality to details. Even if it is outside, you're planting a tree, make sure it's straight. You know, make sure it's not, you know, angled to one side or the other. Make sure you clean up after you, like, mow someone's lawn. Don't leave a ton of grass on their walkways and stuff. It's really the small things that people don't think about in landscaping that makes a huge difference. So I guess that would probably be the bigger one. It's just paying attention to the details, and it goes a long way.
It's funny you say that about the mulch because I literally – like, not very long ago, I was like, did the mulch very well. So, like, I live in a neighborhood that's like a cul-de-sac and it's all duplexes. And, like, one person pretty much owns all the duplexes. He's kind of like selling off each one as he goes.
Yep.
And we bought one half of the duplexes. So we did our own mulch. He has a landscaper come in and do all the other houses around. And, like, it is weirdly obvious how, like, who did what. Like, my house looks really weird compared to the other houses, and, like, not weird in a bad way, but just like the mulching.
Yep.
Like, I spread the mulch and I'm watching these, and I came home one day and I was like, why does theirs look so much better than mine? Like, it's throwing, you know, it's throwing,
yep,
wood on the ground. It shouldn't be it shouldn't look this different. But it was like a night, like you said, it's night and day difference between someone who knows what they're doing and doesn't, I guess. It's not something I would have thought was like a skill, you know?
Yeah. It's the same thing with painting, though. Like, I suck at painting. I get paint everywhere. So a good quality painter I'll pay for because they're going to do a good job and I'm not going to make a mess everywhere.
It's just so funny that, like, something so, like, that seems so basic is actually so nuanced.
Yeah. And it could be, like, a simple trick to, like, change it, but, you know, you just don't know when you're doing it yourself. You're like, whatever, like, just lay it down.
Well, yeah, and then, like, the first half doesn't even look like the last half because, like, I got tired of doing it halfway through, so I'm just, like, dumping it on and just kind of flatten it as I go. did you, like, always kind of have, like, an interest in plants and stuff, or is it just that you like being outside? I know you said you like being outside in general, but did you have, like, an appreciation or, like, a specific, like, kind of love for, like, plants and planting and stuff?
Not really. That's something that I've had to learn a lot about. I had, like, gardens when I was in, I think in high school, I went through a weird summer where I wanted to have a garden. So I made one in my parents' yard. It was good. I had, like, tomatoes and cantaloupe, but I didn't learn anything about them. Like, I just planted them. They grew, and we ate them. But now that I'm, like, actually doing it, I've learned so much more. Like how much sun each plant, you know, each one needs to be in a specific area, how much water, even the soil acidity makes a difference, which these are all things I never knew about first starting out. So even now I'm still learning it. And you'll get homeowners who will bring you a plant you've never even seen or heard of. So I usually have to go home and research it because, you know, you could touch it and the thing's going to die or explode. So, yeah. So and the other thing is, too, pulling weeds out, you end up pulling more things than you think, and then people get mad. So I've learned a lot about trees and shrubs and plants. It is interesting to me, though. So it's a cool thing to learn. So I'll go home and learn some. It's interesting to me. It's not like it's just like a textbook read. But I did have to learn a lot about it.
Is there anything, have you done any jobs so far where maybe someone came to you and was like, you know, we want to do this. You looked at it and you said to yourself, like, you know, that's kind of a stretch, or maybe I'm not, I don't understand that 100%, but like, I'm going to take the job and like figure it out.
Yeah. My first job was like that. It started out where they had asked for a quote and I had given it to them. And I just kind of told them, you know, it's my first real big one. And they were friends of a friend, so I'd kind of known who they were. So I was like, this is my first one. So I gave them my number, and they had tried to call a bunch of other big landscaping companies, and no one was even returning their call, so they couldn't even book it, and they really wanted it done. So I gave them the number. I said, this is my first one. I was like, try any of those other landscaping companies. If you really can't hear from anyone and you want it done, let me know. And I'll do it. So it was, that one was the kind of up in the air one. So it was like, it almost forced my hand because then they were like, we didn't find anyone. So I was like, okay, I have to do it now. So that was probably the one, but yeah, I was so glad when I did do it. It was just like, cause I never really like gone to the hardscape places and like placed the order myself and like made it so the delivery could go right where it needs to go so there's no problems and making sure like everything goes smoothly and everything's on time. And it wasn't hard, it was just organization that I wasn't used to. So that for me was like really stepping into it, and so that was probably that one for me. It was just that first one stepping into it.
That's awesome. It sounds like you've had like the things have progressed rapidly. Like it's not,
yeah,
it's kind of like a lot of times it's almost like there's like a waiting period, and then all of a sudden it's like this big, big turning point one way or the other comes up, and you kind of have to make that decision, you know, and then it ramps.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like life is always like that, though. It's the way I've kind of gone about it now is just be ready for the opportunities. So even though, you know, I might not be at the point where I'm ready to take on a mansion to do their landscaping, but if I can have the mentality where, you know, I can get close to it or work as hard as I can to be as close as I can to it, eventually it's going to pop up. And once it's there, I'm going to be able to take it. So it's knowing it's out there. It's just being able to know that you're ready for it.
It's super cliche, but who was it? Wayne Gretzky who said, I've missed 100% of the shots that I didn't take.
Exactly. Yeah. It sounds cliche, but it's so true though. Like, just be ready for it. If you don't do it, I mean, worst comes to worst, they won't like it. You have to redo it. Yeah, you could lose some money too, but the end game is you can make even more money. So you gotta take a step somewhere.
Absolutely. And like, you know, nobody likes to fail, right?
No.
But like everybody does. You know, so like the worst, absolute worst case scenario, like you fail and you have to give the money back or whatever. Like that's like the absolute worst case scenario that could ever possibly happen, you know, like,
yep.
And then the day that's not even that bad.
Yep.
Like,
yeah. You roll with the punches and just go.
Right. But then who knows? Cause that person might be like Steven Tyler's, like, you know, college roommate. And then when Steven Tyler needs his house done, you know?
Yeah. Word of mouth. Huge.
Just always accepting those opportunities and always trying to say yes to opportunities. That's like, I think that's one of like the biggest things everybody should really look at themselves for is like, how often are you turning down an opportunity for something that could be huge?
Yeah. And it's usually themselves getting in their way, just doubting. Cause a lot of times it was, oh, I didn't have the right equipment for it. And then in the back of your head, you're like, how could you get, oh, I can rent the equipment. You charge them a little bit more or whatever, but it still gets the job done. you know, you kind of figure it out in the numbers that way. But everything's possible. It's just how you want to approach it and how much work you want to put into it.
What's the next step for you, you think? Like, what are you – is there any, like, big pieces of equipment you're looking to add? Is there anything that you're looking to start doing next?
So right now, I actually just got – I had an F-150 now. I had this thing for about a year now when I first started. I'm looking to get something bigger just because I can't tow as much and I can't hold as much material in it. So I'm probably going to do like an F-350 dump or something because I have my trailer and I have the mowing equipment and the compactor and most of that stuff. So that'd be the dump truck and a plow so I could plow in the winter too. And then after that, it'll probably be a Bobcat would be like the next big, big purchase. So it just makes patio jobs so much easier.
Yeah, I would imagine. Have you ever had, like, them deliver you your hardscaping material and have them put it in the wrong spot and then you had to walk it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happened to me one time. But the biggest thing is you got to make sure you mark out right where you want it. And a lot of the times I'll try to get there for when they're delivering just to make sure because, oh, my God, it'll add an extra day onto a project if they put it, like, 20 feet the wrong way.
Oh, my God. That must – I always think about that whenever they, like, drop stuff up at the shop. Like, the shop's pretty small, you know, but, like, if they put it down front in front of, like, one of the bays and it has to go all the way up out back, you know, I'm not going to want to.
Yeah.
I don't want
yeah,
to
no,
have
to.
I think that's all the questions I have for you today. Where can people find you?
So I have a website at boydspropertycarellc.com. And then I'm also on Instagram, same handle, boydspropertycarellc. Other than that, my phone number and email are both on those. And that's pretty much, yeah, Instagram, website, and phone and email. That's basically all where you can reach me.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you soon. I'm sure you'll I'm sure you'll see Rick very soon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you enjoyed the show. If you're in the New Hampshire area and you're looking for some landscape work, please feel free to give Chris a call. He's an awesome guy and he does an awesome job. If you enjoyed the show and you would like to do me a favor and head over to the review section and give me a 5-star review and let me know what you thought in a comment. And if you didn't like the show and you want to do me a favor, you could always just head over to the review section and you can give me a 1-star review and just let me know what you thought of it and why you didn't like it. All the feedback I get just helps me make a better show, so I would appreciate any and all that comes my way. Thank you very much, guys. I hope you have a great day.